The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Praise you, Jesus. Well, I've got a word from the Lord this morning, a fresh revelation word of God for you. Listen, if you've been going through any kind of a battle where you feel the enemy's trying to shame you, ridicule you, or intimidate you, you're in the right place at the right time to hear the right thing. Now, I can say, I bet there is not one of us the enemy ain't been trying to pull some shenanigan on, trying to either shame us or just ridicule us and trying to embarrass us, about this, that, or that. Maybe you prayed for something and it didn't quite happen the way you thought it was going to happen. He tries to ridicule you, embarrass you. He tries to shame you. And, of course, he's always trying to use fear as a weapon of intimidation. But how many of you know this? Greater is he who's in us. That's the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, than he who's in the world. I'm going to need some help today from the Holy Spirit to get through what God has given me to get through. I want to give you what God gave me. Psalm 112, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears or reveres the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. So everything we read about from this point on is dependent upon whether you qualify. Are you a person who reveres the Lord? When it says fears the Lord, it doesn't mean be afraid of God. No, it means to respect and honor him. You could honestly translate it love. But blessed is the one who reveres the Lord and who finds great delight in his commandments. So this is a psalm full of promises for people who revere the Lord and who also delight in his commandments or in his word. Here's the promises. Talk about the person who reveres God. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house. Now, I didn't make that up. Somebody asked me, are you a prosperity preacher? I said, well, I can't be a poverty preacher because I preach from the Bible. See, God never made anybody poor. He increases people. Does that mean he'll make you a millionaire if you serve Jesus? Not necessarily. But he'll prosper you in every way, especially the most important way. Because, beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. But finances is part of it. It says so in the book. Now, it says, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous person. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely and conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he'll never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. Now, if I lost you, get with me on verse 7. This is the part I got really, really underlined in my Bible. He will have no fear of bad news, whether it's fake or real. I just thought I'd throw that out there. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast trusting in the Lord. Do you notice how I read that? Let me read it again, see if you catch it. He'll have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast trusting in the Lord. He's steadfast trusting. He's not just steadfast. He's not just trusting. He's steadfast trusting in the Lord. That means his trust in the Lord doesn't waver based on what's going on this week or today. It doesn't waver based on a doctor's report or a news report or his own thoughts or even thoughts that are not his own that were inspired to be fed to him to try to intimidate him or shame him or humiliate him or cause him to cower down in fear. He said no matter what comes his way, he's just steadfast in his trust. Just steadfast trusting. Steadfast trusting. Things don't go his way. I still trust him. Things do go his way. That didn't change nothing either. I don't trust him more and I don't trust him less. I just trust him. I trust him. Amen. So his heart's steadfast trusting in the Lord. Watch this. His heart is secure, verse 8. His heart is secure. He will have no, what is it? No fear. No fear. You know what dispels fear? Trust. Not any trust, but trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord dispels fear. When I say trust in the Lord, I want to be real specific about what I mean. I mean you trust in the love that God has for you as an individual. When you get the revelation of the fact that God loves you, and you get that settled in your life, and you start making that be the literal foundation of your entire life, you say, well, you want to come over here and do this? Well, God loves me, and I know that would hurt him, and I don't need it because I'm already full with the love of God. I don't really seem to have all them empty places I used to have in me that I tried to fill up with this, that, and everything else. I'm just pretty full. See, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. But when you're filled, you're filled. Someone was talking to Jesus one day at the well. It was a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and he told her, he said, whoever drinks of the water that I give him, they'll never thirst again. Now, he wasn't talking about physical water. She thought he was. She goes, oh, great, that'd be better than carrying a bucket. He said, no. What I mean is this, Jesus satisfies. When you come to a real relationship with Jesus, you quit looking everywhere else. You don't need Jesus and this and Jesus and that and Jesus with this. Jesus is more than enough. If you get full of Jesus, full of the Spirit of God, he's so more than enough that you'll just be leaking every which way. You'll be overflowing with Jesus. If somebody offers you something that's not Jesus, you're like, I got no room for that. I got no desire for that. Has no appeal to me whatsoever. Something that used to appeal to you and you wished you could get away with it, but yet at the same time you didn't want to suffer for it, it has no appeal anymore. It's completely gone. Not because that you're so religious that you're scared God will smite you if you do something wrong, but because you're so full of the love of God, there's no need. I don't have any want. I'm not wanting. Let me quote the psalmist to you, David. How many know David? David the psalmist, the keeper of the sheep, who spent all those hours out in the pasture worshiping God with the sheep. And he played his harp for the Lord, and he worshiped, and he wrote many, 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 many worship songs, and he came to know God intimately. The Bible says that David was known, his reputation, a man after God's own heart. After it. I'm after your heart, God. You know, if I'd have told Sharon when we were 17 years old or 16 when we met, well, I'm after your heart. She might have got intimidated, but I showed her by my actions that I was after her heart. She was after my heart, and I was after hers, and we both succeeded. But listen to me, when you go after God's heart, you're going to succeed too. The Bible says if you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. And he doesn't draw near to you because you're all that and you're perfect. And he just draws near to you because he loves you. And anything in your life that has been hindering or displeasing or whatever, listen, he'll take care of it if you'll let him. I don't think I'll ever see God literally descend out of heaven and slap something out of someone's hand. You still have free will. But if something is in your life, something keeps coming and tormenting you or trying to find its way in and keep knocking on your door or keeps a craving, a wanting, or whatever it is, and you just, every time you in your past you've ever given in to it, it made you feel guilty or ashamed or this or that. You don't have to have that. You're greater than that thing with Christ in you. And God will help you. I got to say this, but I'm going to tell you something. Your peace ain't coming from anything this world has to offer. I don't care if you got to drink it, pop it, or smoke it. Your peace comes from Jesus Christ. Anything else is idolatry. You and I are living in an age where we can't afford to have God on a shelf sitting next to another God. Even if our Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is the biggest God there is in our life, he doesn't want to be the biggest God. I want to make a statement you're going to need to chew on, so don't decide what you're going to do with it before I'm finished. God doesn't want to be first place in your life. Because first place indicates there might be a second place and a third place and a fourth place. God wants to be your life. He doesn't want to just be at the top of your list. He wants to be above the list, period. The psalmist David wrote many times, there is nothing that compares to you. In verse 7 of Psalms 112, it describes a person who loves God, reveres God, and who loves his word. It says they have no fear when bad news comes. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He'll have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. We were just singing. We know the end of the story. I love to worship with my Bible in my hand. Lord, where do you want me to go? 1 John 4:18. Back of the book, the epistle of 1 John, way back in the back. I love the Word of God so much today. I think it's because of my deep appreciation for the fact that when I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus, and then I got a Bible and I started reading it for myself, everything changed. Listen to me. You can be in church, but if you're not reading the Bible for yourself, you're missing out. You've got to read the Word for yourself. I say it this way. Church will not make you Christ-like any more than sleeping in a garage will turn you into a car. But the Word of God, let me say it to you this way. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind with the Word of God. It'll change your life. You know the saying. It's a computer term, kind of, but garbage in. Come on, what comes out? Garbage out. So we've got to change what we feed on. If I want to be more like Christ, I've got to feed on Christ. I've got to get in the Word. I've got to get the Word for myself. And no preacher on earth can feed you enough to last you all week or even half a week. You've got to feed on it for yourself. Listen, I've seen a lot of people's lives train wrecked in 25 years of pastoring. I've been in the ministry longer than that, but 25 years of pastoring this church. I promise you this, in 25 years I've had a lot of heartache of watching people's lives utterly destroyed after them having tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You know, my heart grieves for people who never taste and see that the Lord is good and their lives are being destroyed, and we see them, they wouldn't come to church on a dare. But what really grieves a pastor's heart, what's really grieved my heart, is to see people come and taste of the Lord and get that moment with Jesus and then go out and not continue to feed themselves and grow. But I will tell you this, in 25 years, I have never one time ever seen someone come into this church who feeds on the Word themselves ever have their life go back to being a train wreck. Some people call it backsliding, this and that. The Bible says this way. It says, like a sow that's washed returns to wallowing in the mud, and a dog returns to his own vomit. Blech, that's gross. He goes, that's kind of human nature if you don't do something differently. And the differently thing that you need to do is get in the Word. Get in the Word. Let me say it this way. Let the Word get in you. Amen.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
So 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Remember there in Psalms it said, the man who trusts in God, whose heart's steadfast, trusting in the Lord, he has no fear, even when bad news comes? Here's why. Verse 18 in 1 John, there is no fear in love. Yeah, I'm waiting. That's the point. That's it right there. You see, well, that guy back there in the Old Testament, that guy in Psalms 112 is describing, you know, it says he reveres the Lord, he respects the Lord, he honors the Lord, he worships the Lord, he fears the Lord. And he delights in his word or his commandments. Well, when he's delighting in the word, you know what's happened to him? He's in the word and he's delighting in the word of God. He's not reading it out of a sense of duty. I heard Joyce Meyer one time say this, don't ever think you did God a favor because you read your Bible today. You did you a favor. God already knows what it says. Don't check reading your Bible off your to-do list. It's a privilege to get to open the bread of life and feed on it anytime you want. All right, there is no fear in love. So that guy that didn't have fear what his deal was, he discovered love. He discovered how much God loves him. He discovered that God is love. Watch this. There's no fear in love because perfect love. Now, if we're thinking of perfect love, being perfect means to have no faults or flaws whatsoever. Who is perfect? Only God. Only God. But I want to tell you this. It doesn't mean perfect in that way. I believe it is talking about the love of God, but it's not talking about, it doesn't call it perfect because it's God's love. It calls it perfect because the word perfect means fully developed. It's perfected. It's matured. Amen. Now, think of it in that way. Love that is fully developed drives out all fear because fear has to do with torment. Scared of consequences. I'm scared of this, scared of that, scared of the virus. The Bible tells you over 360 times, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. If you go to the literal translation of the Bible, you know what Jesus said to the disciples in the boat when the storm was raging and they were sinking and they thought they were going to drown? They go, oh, God. They went back there. Do you not care that we perish? First of all, anytime something's intimidating you to the point that you're willing to cry out or even think, I wonder if God even cares. You know this. The devil is hot in your face and you just need to say, fear, shut up. When Jesus told those disciples, be not afraid, that's a nice, mild, translated version of it. It literally means stop the fear. Don't tolerate it. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated, and contaminated faith doesn't get results. Don't put up with fear. None. No fear. That fear that intimidates, that fear that humiliates. God don't have any of that fear. If you're feeling those things, it is not coming from God. There's no fear in love. Perfect or fully developed, mature love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who is in that kind of fear is not made perfect in love, is not fully developed in love. Can I say it this way? They haven't grown up into it yet. You got to grow up. Well, how do I grow up? By feeding on the Word. Listen, this ain't like your physical well-being. When you were a little baby, if you didn't grow up, you would have died. God doesn't want you to stay a baby. God wants you to grow and experience every good thing. Why? Because as a parent, you want your children to experience everything that you have, and you want them to experience it with you. But they can't experience the things for the mature if they're still a baby. Can't give a 12-gauge to a 4-year-old. Well, you better not. Even if you live in Texas, you shouldn't do that, okay? You got to wait for them to grow up. We don't give a driver's license to an 8-year-old, right? They got to grow up. Some of the 16-year-olds probably should wait a little while, but they'll learn. Just put tires all the way around. They'll be all right. We've got to mature to have the things that God wants us to have. So in Psalms, where we started in 112, what it's really talking about is someone who loves God and they're growing because of the Word. And that Word is affecting their life. It's bringing prosperity. Wasn't prosperity part of that? It's bringing prosperity to them. It's bringing their family situation seem to be good. Their kids are being blessed. Like, man, that's what I want. Well, then stay in there and stay plugged in and keep loving God, keep growing in the Word and keep loving God, keep growing in the Word. And when bad news comes, no matter how it comes, because bad news is going to come, I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but I'd be a liar if I told you anything different. Bad news is coming your way. But bad news don't have to be bad news, because with God, there's really no such thing as bad news. So, oh, a virus broke out. Well, I got a healer. That don't change the blood of Jesus from protecting you. Come on. Amen. Bad news is not bad news when you got a good God. Oh, the economy's collapsing. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory, not according to Dow Jones. Amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to throw at you. If you're rooted and grounded in love, love just stands up and goes, get that garbage out of here. Amen. Look back to verse 16, 1 John 4:16. And we know, and what else? We know and we rely on the love God has for us. That's personal, isn't it? See, that's where it changes everything. It's one thing to believe in the love of God for everybody, but when it becomes personal, and you get rooted and grounded in the fact that God personally loves you, changes everything. So why are you not afraid of the coronavirus? Or why are you not afraid of this? And why are you not afraid of that? I'm not afraid of any of that for the same reason that the guy in Psalms 112 wasn't afraid of it. He said he will have no fear of dread. Bad news comes, and he's not afraid because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I went on a missions trip to Haiti back years ago when AIDS was still very prevalent, especially in Haiti. Me and Curtis Ivey, we went in this little old stick hut. There's this little girl in there, man. She was shriveled up to next to nothing, dying of AIDS. And they asked us, will you place hands on this girl and pray? Me and Curtis just went right on in there and did it. I didn't say, hey, let me get suited up in my hazmat gear. I was already suited up in my hazmat gear. It's called the love of God. What better defense could I have than that? And I'm not saying be foolish with yourself, whatever. You do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, okay? There are going to be people tell you things that the Holy Spirit's going to go, that's not for you. If it comes down to a choice to obey men or God, I'm going to suggest you obey God. And there's no fear in love. If I'm obeying God out of love, not out of a rebel against the government, that's not God. God's not a rebellion God. He's a justice God. He's a righteous God. He's a truth God. But he's not a rebellion God. If you got something you can't fix, don't take matters into your own hands. Because you're not going to fix it. You're going to make it worse. Man, my head hurts. I think I'll go in the bathroom and do brain surgery on myself. Like, yeah, that's about right. That's about what you've been doing. Now, why don't you put your tools away and let God be God? Come on. Boy, that's straight up out of the Holy Spirit's flow right there. I got a newsflash for you. You're not a brain surgeon. And if you were, you still shouldn't operate on yourself. Let God be God. Trust in the love. Okay, let's read it. Verse 16. We know and we rely on the love God has for us, and God is love. When you trust in love, you're trusting in God. Let's go to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, that last scripture we were looking at said God is what? Love. I want you, let's get that before we move on. So we can set it away. God is love, or the Lord is love. So watch this. Trust in the love with all your heart. Because the word Lord and love, they're interchangeable. Because the Lord is love. God is the Lord and the Lord is love. God is love. So trust in the love. What love? God's love. Trust in the love that God has for you. Trust in the love with all your heart. Now, what is given to us to contrast trusting in the love with all your heart? He says, don't lean or don't rely on your own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why not? Because it'll fail you. It'll fail you. Your own understanding, listen to me, your own understanding can never produce the supernatural peace of God. And if you're being attacked by spiritual things, you need spiritual defense, not just earthly wisdom. So you need the supernatural peace of God. Now watch this, trust in the love, trust in the Lord with all your heart, which trust in the love with all your heart. I'll put it this way, don't lean on your being. Don't try to figure it out. Just trust the love. I don't know what's going on. You don't need to. You're not the one in charge. Get out of the driver's seat. You can't even reach the pedals. Come on. Trust in the love with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. What am I supposed to do then? Next verse. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. In other words, he'll show you which way to go. He'll show you what to do. He'll work it out, right? Acknowledge him. I literally take this verse and I literally use it that way. I say, Lord, I acknowledge you today. I acknowledge you in all my ways, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to lead me, guide me. Take my desires, take my thoughts. I surrender them to you. I acknowledge you, Heavenly Father. I acknowledge you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge, Holy Spirit, that you lead and guide me in all truth. I literally use the word acknowledge. But I only use that word because of this verse. It's not a word I walk around saying. So what does it mean to acknowledge him? Here's what she, oh yeah, Sharon didn't tell me this. It means to make him bigger than anything else. How do I make him bigger? He's God. He can't get bigger or smaller. How many have ever read in the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. To magnify something, is that to make it bigger or just make it look bigger? And the answer is to make it look bigger. If I hold a magnifying glass over an ant really doesn't get that big. He's still just the same size, but he looks bigger. And you know what circumstances are trying to do to you? They're trying to make your God look small. And all you got to do is make him bigger. How do I do that? I make him bigger by leaning into his love. And because of his love, I start talking about his goodness. In 2 Chronicles 20, the children of God were about to be overwhelmed, and God gave them a battle plan, and they came up with a response to the battle plan. They decided to put their worship team out in front and head of the army, and they just went along singing about the goodness and mercy and love of God. And as they made God bigger, the enemy turned on himself, these three armies that had come against them, and they all destroyed one another. And God's people just went over there and picked up the plunder for 3 days because they trusted in the love with all their heart and didn't lean on their own understanding. They acknowledged him or made him bigger than the situation. And because they made him bigger than the situation, intimidation got intimidated. When the enemy throws his best stuff in your face to try to shame you, ridicule you, or intimidate you, and your response is just to back up and lean into the love of God and start talking about the goodness of God and his great plan about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, the enemy had no answer for that. You know what it does to him? It confuses him because he is the author of confusion. And it turns confusion back on him. John said, we have not only known, but we rely on the love God has for us. That's what makes the difference. In other words, let me say it to you this way. You can't lose when you trust God. But you can't win when you don't. Put 1 John 5:4 up there real quick. The Lord said, this is how this ends today. I don't care where else you go, but this is how this ends. 1 John 5:4 and 5:5. For everyone born of God, that means born again. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Even whose faith? Our faith. Personal faith. Your personal faith overcomes whatever's in the world is trying to overcome you. Faith, what is that? You can describe faith a lot of ways. In its root level, it's the fact that you have become thoroughly convinced that God loves you, and you rely on that. And that brings me to this. This is why God wants to end here. Have you confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart, and invited him and made him Lord of your life? But if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't expect victory. Victory doesn't belong to you until you belong to him. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, if you're bound up today by whatever it is, fear, intimidation, humiliation, shame, maybe addiction like my friend Terrell was, it's not by accident that you're listening to me. You have a divine appointment for freedom today. Who the Son sets free, they're free indeed. All Jesus is waiting for is your response. Reach out to him. Pray this prayer with me if you need to. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. I believe in the love that Jesus has for me, and I give my heart, my life to you, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Take me into the family of God and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me your ways. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.